You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to the FWA podcast in association with William Hill. Alex Dunn here, joined on the line by The Telegraph's Jason Burt to look ahead to, the weekend's action. We've got some international games coming across, the World Cup qualifiers, a couple on Thursday evening, the rest on Saturday. Also going to have a chat around the England managerial role, because quite a bit has happened since the last international break, hasn't it, Jason? First things first, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, no, it's been an incredible couple of weeks, obviously, with Sam Allardyce going and Gareth Southgate being put in temporary charge until at least the end of this year. So we've got a four-game audition, effectively, if he wants to become the England manager. Interestingly, we were up at St George's Park speaking to Gareth on Monday, and he was careful not to say that he wanted the job. Now, I think that's partly political. He obviously didn't want to come out necessarily and say he wanted, but I think part of him needs to be convinced that it's the right thing for him to do as well, because there's always that argument, you know, becoming England manager, is it a bit of a poison chalice? Does it actually end up damaging your career? How many people come out of being England manager in a better situation than when they took the job? So I think he's quite a bright guy. I think he'll think about all the different ramifications of it for his personal life and for his own career as well. I suspect, though, he does want the job. And I think if it goes well in the next four games, he will be the next permanent England manager.
OK. It's interesting, of course, because obviously it was the Telegraph that broke this story, if you like. I find it very hard to, when you sort of detach yourself from the situation, just looking back at it, it's just an incredible sequence of events, isn't it, over the last couple of weeks?
It is. Obviously, it was a news investigation by the Daily Telegraph. It was an investigation that I was directly involved with as a football correspondent, but clearly there were huge ramifications in terms of what it meant for football. And the Telegraph felt there was a clear, you know, public interest in what they did, and obviously in what what Sam Allardyce said in their investigation. Most relevantly with regards to sort of getting around the third-party ownership rules in the FA. And obviously the FA acted very, very quickly to decide that it was time to move him on after only one game in charge. Obviously nobody foresaw any of that happening. We thought obviously that he was going to be the England manager for at least the next couple of years, and he was going to get his imprint on the team. And lots of the things he's tried to do with the team have already been changed a little bit. We had lots of advertising slogans and gimmicks and marketing stuff, and I think Gareth Southgate's already moved a bit away from that. But I think structurally, he realises that although he's only got the team for four games, he can't change an awful lot, really. You know, you've got to, and neither should he. You don't want too much upheaval yet again. You obviously have had Roy Hodgson, Sam Allardyce has come in, a different sort of manager. Gareth Southgate's bright enough to know that he's got to get the balance between getting his own imprint on the team and the way they want to play and do things he wants to do, but not to have too much upheaval so the players are a bit confused as to yet another change in manager, yet another change in approach. What will be interesting to see will be how he sets them up and how they play. And I think Gareth, although he was a defender, and defence is obviously very important to him, I think he's very, very keen to get an attacking team out there, you know, the attack and try and score goals and play some front foot football. And that will be quite exciting to see if he manages to achieve that.
Obviously, we're going to get onto the game in more detail in just a short while. England do take on Malta at the weekend. It is the kind of game that, I suppose, from Gareth Southgate's point of view, it is quite hard to actually win, if you like. Not to win the game, of course.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Anyone could be in charge of an England team that should beat Malta.
No, absolutely. And that's a fair point. So, therefore, the manner of the performance becomes more important. And I think there will be frustration if, obviously, England don't score a hatful of goals and don't score them quickly. Mm. There's a cliche, obviously, now that, you know, there's no easy games in football, but there are still a few. And this would come into that category, really. You know, I think if England should be looking to score quite heavily against Malta and to score quite a convincing performance. So in some ways, actually, I think it's the ideal first game for him. I know it's got pitfalls in terms of, you know, if it's turgid after an hour and it's 0-0 or 1-0, people will get a bit frustrated. But in some ways, it's a free hit. You know, he can't lose this game. They won't lose this game, I don't think. Obviously, famous last words. They won't lose this game, and I think it'll set him up well to go into the next game away to Slovenia. So he'll get a chance to set up the team the way he wants to, get some experience for some of the players out there and the way he wants to play them, and hopefully they'll get a convincing victory. But you're right. I mean, these games are very difficult to report on because, you know, England will win. It will be probably a convincing victory. You may get, you know, for example, say what happens if Wayne Rooney scores a hat-trick? You know, and then everyone will say, like, Wayne Rooney, you know, scores all these goals, blah, blah, blah. But there's still that fundamental issue about, you know, his worth in the team, his value in the team, his position in the team. Yeah. Obviously, Southgate's reconfirmed him as captain, which is fair enough, but being careful not to say that he'll definitely start, which I think he will, obviously, but being careful not to say that. So sometimes these games against these sorts of fixtures mask the issues around the team going into more tricky ties, such as Slovenia away, which, although England won there last time, it was 3-2. There's a couple of wonder goals from Jack Wilshere. So it wasn't an easy victory last time. So Southgate was well aware of that. He's got that game to go into as well. But in terms of preparation and warm-up, it's not a bad fixture to have.
In terms of the squad, we saw Jesse Lingard called up. Mikel Antonio's there once again. Glenn Johnson was perhaps a bit of a strange one.
I think that in some ways was due to two things. One, quite frankly, the lack of alternative, which might be why Danny Simpson took to social media straight afterwards and deleted his tweet about, I think he tweeted lol. Mm-hmm. It's obviously shown his own frustration, but he's not been in and around the England squad himself, so it wouldn't necessarily be an automatic choice. I think I'm quite pleased that Michael Keane has come in now that Glenn Johnson's dropped out, because he's a good young player. But in terms of right-backs, the only other one I saw, and I was a bit surprised maybe they didn't go for, was Kieran Trippier at Tottenham Hotspur, who hasn't played an awful lot, but obviously has played enough and has played in the Champions League and is playing, quite frankly, in a more successful team than Stoke City and is a good deal younger than Glenn Johnson. But Gareth Southgate explained that to us again on Monday and said that, and it's a fair point, actually, because we all have this clamour for new players, new names, exciters, bring somebody else in who we haven't had before. But actually, to be fair, the England squad has changed an awful lot in the last couple of years. And there is a lot of young players in there already, you know, young, talented players, such as John Stones and Dele Alli, Harry Kane, obviously injured at the moment. But we have got a lot of young players in the squad. And I think the point he was trying to make is that maybe there's a little bit lacking of experience at times. And Ben Johnson coming into the squad, he was always going to be understudy to Kyle Walker. I think Kyle Walker would have played in both games anyway. But I think it was an interesting reaction to it, and I can understand it, because he's playing in a team that's struggling at the moment with Stoke. He hasn't played for England for 2 years since the last World Cup. Yeah. The primary reason, I think, to be quite frank, is there was a lack of alternatives.
In terms of next permanent England manager, then, I know we've already touched on it. Gareth Southgate is 6-5 to get the job on a permanent basis. Ralph Rangnick is 3s, 4s for Arsene Wenger, 7-1 Steve Bruce. Eddie Howe and Roberto Mancini are 10-1. It's then 12-1 for Alan Pardew and Glenn Hoddle. 16s Jurgen Klinsmann, and bigger prices the rest. That kind of price would suggest that we're pretty confident that Gareth Southgate's going to get this on a permanent basis.
I think partly the man in possession, he is the manager at the moment. If it goes well, there will be a desire for him to stay. I think he will be wanting to stay on then after that. And I think that will then happen because it will be easy to do. You know, he will be the man there, so why not? I think the Arsene Wenger one is really interesting because they definitely offered him the job in the summer before they appointed Sam Allardyce. Absolutely. Were courting him quite strongly. And you always get the same situation with Arsene Wenger in that he never says no, but he never necessarily says yes either. Mm. So you have this kind of prolonged kind of dance around the subject and whether or not he's going to actually do it, whether or not he's going to stay at Arsenal. I think, to be fair to him, this idea that he doesn't break contracts is true. He doesn't. You know, he will want to see out his contract. But this is the year he's spoken most of all about, well, maybe, you know, we'll see what happens next year. I might be available next year. I might not be around at Arsenal next year. I suspect he will sign a new contract at Arsenal. And he will stay at Arsenal. They seem to be going in the right direction at the moment. I think he won't want to walk away from that. I think he'll want to end his Arsenal career on a high. And this team is getting close now to being quite a good team and possibly a challenging team, although obviously he's got huge rivals around him in Manchester City and Tottenham and Liverpool. Manchester United, it's getting harder and harder to win things. But I think he is the interesting one. And then and beyond that, the other name I would pick out is Eddie Howe, who is a fascinating prospect because people really rate him extremely highly. Very, very young manager. But a lot of people are interested in seeing what he does, for example, with Jack Wilshere this year at Bournemouth, because what he's done so far at Bournemouth is often the players at Bournemouth have come with him on a journey. You know, they've come up with him from League One and so on, and most of them have been with him for a while. Now he's in a situation where he's bringing in players like Jack Wilshere and Jordan Ibe, obviously from Liverpool as well. So players he's actually coming to Bournemouth who have already got an established name or already big name or big money signings. how he manages them. If, for example, he gets the best out of Jack Wilshere this season, the FA won't not notice that. They'll see that and think, right, okay, straight away here's a player, here's a manager who can handle big players and get the best out of them. They rate him extremely highly. I would not be surprised at some point in his career he does become the England manager. I think it's the obvious thing if his career progresses the way it appears to be progressing. They did definitely consider him again in the summer, and I think they decided then, probably rightly so, that it's a bit early. But I do like the idea of a young manager with a young group of players. I think that's why Southgate ticks the box as well, because although he's 46, a little bit older than Howie, he still is a young manager. And I think that working with that group of players, he does relate to them quite well. More than half of the current England squad have been with Southgate with the under-21s. He knows them personally. John Stones was speaking yesterday about how good he is in terms of man management and dealing with players on a one-on-one basis. I think that becomes an increasingly important part of football. And sometimes, I'm not criticising Roy Hodgson at all, because I got on well with Hodgson. I think he was unfortunate in many ways. Obviously, went very badly wrong in the tournaments and so on. I think the principles of the things he tried to do were good. But I think sometimes when you're quite a bit older, you know, you're 40 years older than some of these players, even more than that when you come to players like Rashford, I think there is a little bit of a difficulty in relating to them on a one-on-one basis. And I think sometimes a younger manager can do that a bit more easily. How, I think the other question mark about him is whether you can expose him, you know, can you take him out of the environment of Bournemouth and parachute him straight in as England manager? That's a big ask. Mm. You know, sometimes you think maybe he should have done another job in between. But certainly those three, Southgate, Wenger, Howe, very different in many ways. You're going from Southgate to Wenger to Howe. I think they're the three names the most likely. Rangnick is very interesting because, again, they definitely spoke to him in the summer. I think partly to do with some of his ideas around football. They're interested in him as a football technician and what have principles he brings. And obviously he's working with Leipzig at the moment, but he's very highly rated by Dan Ashworth, the FA's technical director, who tried to hire him at West Bromwich Albion as a manager there. So they did speak to him again. They've had no contact since then. But I think they will try and look at those three, Wenger, Southgate and Howe. And if you're asking me who I think will be the next manager, I think it'll be Gareth Southgate.
OK, but certainly a number of interesting contenders there. Certainly fascinating to see how things pan out over the next few weeks and indeed months. Right, we'll focus on the other home nations then. We're going to spin through the games coming up across the course of this weekend. Of course, there's two of them this evening. We're recording this on Thursday, and there's two games on Thursday night. We'll start with Austria-Wales. Austria 13-10, the draw is 11-5, and Wales are 12-5. Two sides who come here off the back of differing Euro performances. Wales, of course, exceeded all expectations. Austria probably a little disappointed with how things went for them, but they are the favourites for this game, and I still think Wales will go there with plenty of optimism here, Jason.
I agree with you, and I think the Austrian coach has made a bit of a mistake sort of calling Wales lucky for reaching the semi-finals of the Euros. I mean, they don't need any motivation, Wales, but he's added a little bit more there with that stupid comment, really. I mean, I think Austria bombed at the Euros. I thought they'd do quite well, especially partly because of the group they were in. But they were atrocious. I mean, they were absolutely atrocious. They didn't seem to know what they were doing. They froze at the tournament. As Chris Coleman said yesterday, you know, a number of nations froze at the Euros. Wales didn't. And that's exactly right. They didn't. And they didn't. They weren't lucky. They got exactly what they deserved. If anything, they were unlucky not to go further. I watched a lot of the Wales games at the Euros and I thought they were terrific. And they were buoyed on the back of that. And I think what was interesting was that we all wondered after the Euros, you know, they had their first home game. Okay, they were playing, I think it was Moldova. And you think, well, they'll beat them. But they beat them well, you know, and they beat them convincingly. And there's a sort of surfing that wave of optimism still. Mm. They're going to be going there without Aaron Ramsey, who's such an important player. Everyone talks about Gareth Bale, and rightly so. But I think Ramsey's absence in that semi-final in the Euros was what really hurt them. And he had a fantastic tournament. Arguably the player of the tournament. They'll miss him against Austria, but I think there's such a good space at the moment, such a lot of confidence, and Coleman's really on top of this, and I think Gareth Bale is, you know, such an important player. I could see them going there and winning. You know, I think at the very least they'll get a draw. I'd be surprised if they lose that game. I think they're in a very good place to qualify for the World Cup.
OK, Wales 12-5 to win on Thursday evening. If you do want to be a bit more cautious, Wales draw no bet is 11-8, and we've enhanced as well. Gareth Bale to score and Wales to win was 7-2 out to 5-1, which could look very big come about 10 o'clock on Thursday. Republic of Ireland against Georgia, the other game on Thursday evening, also at 7:45. Ireland are 2-5, the draw 7-2, and Georgia are 9-1. Ireland again an okay Euros performance, I suppose.
Yeah.
They beat Italy, and there were a few games where they weren't quite so good. I think the Italy game almost masked that, if you like. Georgia, on the other hand, no whipping boys by any means. Ireland are a very short price here, but they should really be getting the job done if they have any hope of qualifying, shouldn't they?
Oh, definitely. They've got to win. This is, as you absolutely say, this is a home game they have to win. You know, they've got to get these home victories. They're in a tricky group. They got a good away draw against Serbia, but you know they could have won that game. They could have lost that game, and possibly should have lost that game in the end. But they could have got a good away draw there. Obviously, Martin and Roy Keane have signed new contracts and committed themselves to the Republic of Ireland, which is good news. I thought in the Euros, I agree with you to a certain extent in the Euros. I thought they were very unlucky against France, though. Was obviously in the game that went out, and I think that Martin O'Neill was right to point out afterwards that the extra recovery days that France had made a big difference in that tie, because they were starting to grow into the tournament, really, I felt. They were a little bit unlucky earlier on, and then they obviously had that, you say, that win against Italy, which I weakened Italy okay, but it was such a great sort of result for them. Mm. So I think they did about par, really, in terms of the Euros. They might be surprised at saying that. I think they probably think they did better than that, but I think they did about par, really. But yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, home against Georgia, you know, Scotland slipped up against Georgia in the last qualification group for the Euros. I think Uruguay obviously win the same group. I think they'll have to win that game, really, if they've got any pretense of getting through to the World Cup.
OK, we'll move on to Saturday's games. England-Malta then. England are 1-50. The draw 18-1 and Malta are 33-1. We've pushed out the price of Dele Alli to score and England to win was 10-11, is now 5-4. Obviously, we know, Jason, England should be winning this. Is there anything you can throw at me maybe that perhaps could offer up a little bit of value here for punters?
It's a good question, isn't it? Yeah, I'm trying to think in terms of England goal scorers, really. I mean, Townsend, obviously, is quite an interesting one, isn't he? Because he's always good for a goal, but I'm not quite sure yet. We're still not sure who's going to start for England. That's the problem. I mean, I guess I'm trying to think. I'm not very good at these sorts of things, to be honest with you. I try to think of something that could offer a decent... I mean, the Alli one's quite good. What odds are you offering on that again?
It's 11-10 now. Five to four it is. 5-4 for Alli to score and England to win. But there's some really sharp, right? Rashford's 2-7 any time. Sturridge 1-3. Yeah. Vardy 2-5.
That obviously reflects the disparity in the two nations, doesn't it, really? I mean, I mean, if you're going to be cynical, you could maybe go half-time draw, full-time England. But I think England will score in the first half, so I'm not quite sure what I could offer in terms of any kind of good bets on that, to be honest with you.
No, it is. It's a difficult game, isn't it? Something, perhaps. I mean, you're looking at England to win the first half, England to win the second half is 1-7. But yeah. England, what about highest scoring
A draw at half time and England to win?
Draw at half time, England to win the second half is 11-2.
Strange things
have happened, but you'd probably
really
want a bigger
cynical,
price.
Isn't it? Yeah,
it is. What about this one? England highest scoring half, so the half in which England will score the most goals. First half is 6-4, second half is 11-10, and the tie is 17-5. Do you think they're going to come out, get the job done early here, or do you think it'll be one of those ones that when Malta tire in the second half?
I'd say something like 2-0 England half time, 6-0 England full time, something like that. I thought, you know, would be the more likely scenario. I think you're absolutely right. I think they'll tire. I think on that big pitch at Wembley, full house, England have got so many different options they could bring off the bench. You could see somebody coming off the bench and scoring a couple of goals, you know, even like a Daniel Sturridge or something. You know, you could see that happening and then racking up some goals. They've got so many attacking options, England. A lot of injuries in this squad, but still a lot of attacking options. I mean, you know, you wouldn't bet against Michel Antonio scoring, you know, getting on the pitch and scoring a header. I think there are so many different options for England going forward in attack that they'll score a hatful, I thought.
Okay, so England high scoring half, second half is 11-10. And if you do think it's going to finish 6-0, available at 8-1. If you do think Malta can nick a goal, match result and both teams to score, England to win and both teams to score is 9-5. So you are getting a massive enhancement there, but you need Malta to score. It's pretty unlikely.
It's a big if. Yeah.
Right, we'll move to Scotland then. Scotland, Lithuania, also on Saturday evening. Scotland 4-9, the draw 14-5. Lithuania 13-2. Scotland coming off the back of a big win in Malta.
But they struggled in the first half, didn't they? And then they scored quite a lot in the second half. So that was an away win. And any away win's obviously a good result for a team. I think Scotland have got I'm Scottish. I think Scotland got to stop feeling sorry for themselves, to be honest with you. Because they get a little bit irritated in Scotland because there's an awful lot of like, oh, we can't do this and we can't do that. Well, actually, it's not that bad a team. You know, they've got some decent players. Snodgrass is in good form. Scott Brown's a good player, you know. Wow. Oliver Burke's a good player, has gone to Leipzig. Darren Fletcher's playing well. You go through the team, it's not that bad a team. I know they're in a tough group with England, but, you know, those games will take care of themselves. So they need to collect points quickly and to stay as close to England as possible, obviously going into that game when they face each other in November at Wembley. And there's no reason why Scotland can't play England at Wembley and get something, you know, especially with the atmosphere and the occasion and everything. So if they can collect the points they need to collect, you know, in this early stage of the group and get as close to England as possible, they can compete. But I do feel, I get frustrated with Scotland myself at times, because I do think they do feel sorry for themselves. They go through man for man and everyone says, oh, they're not that great a team. Well, they're not that bad either, you know, and as Northern Ireland have proven, you know, a bit of organisation, teamwork. I mean, Scotland blew it, didn't they, for the Euros? I mean, they actually blew it. You know, that game away, Georgia, that's what did it for them. There's no reason why they shouldn't have got through. Republic Ireland obviously did. So, you know, the other teams are showing the way for something like, for a nation like Scotland, and they need to raise their game a bit more, I think, you know, and that's a fan in me speaking as much as anything else.
Yeah, well, you get the feeling that Wales or Republic of Ireland, if they were playing Lithuania at home, they'd see it as an opportunity to go and really stamp your authority on the games. Where with Scotland, I think you almost see it more as a banana skin, first and foremost.
Exactly. And I think they've got to get over that mindset. And obviously I know a lot of that is based on facts and precedent and the fact that they have done this before. But no, I mean, obviously Lithuania are a tricky side. They're a decent team, but it's the sort of team you think are tricky at home rather than away from home. At home, you should be putting them away. So I would expect Scotland to go out there and get the win. But as I say, I think they've got an opportunity in this group. It's not that strong a group beyond England. And I think you stay close to England, they've always got an opportunity of getting through. I think it's about time they really sort of looked at the other nations and what they've achieved and think, well, we've got to do that as well. You know, we've got to try and emulate Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland, Wales. It's our turn really to show that what we can do here.
Okay, so Scotland 4-9 to win. If you do think they can go and really stamp their authority, then Scotland minus a goal is 11-8, and minus two goals, if you're feeling particularly fanciful, is 15-4. The final game we're going to focus on is Northern Ireland against San Marino. I don't think this one will take too long. Northern Ireland 1-50, the draw 18-1, San Marino a 33-1. Northern Ireland for many years were no great shakes, but all of a sudden they are a international side to be feared, and San Marino are not, Jason.
Yeah, it goes back to that point made at the start, you know, the cliche about there are no easy games. Well, there are obviously a few. although I was in San Marino a few years ago when they took the lead against the Republic of Ireland, and that was an incredible game. You could have heard a pin drop in the stadium. San Marino didn't actually have any fans, so it was full of just Republic of Ireland supporters, just completely silent until they managed to get an equaliser and scrape through and got a win and right at the death. But no, again, you know, this is clearly a home banker in terms of the result. I think the question with Northern Ireland will only be how many goals they can score. And they've done quite well recently. They struggled for a while after David Healy, but they've done quite well with Kyle Lafferty and so on and other players coming in. There's always been a little bit of an issue around who's going to score the goals. I think Connor Washington's obviously playing now as well. So they've always got that issue, because defensively they've been very strong. Michael O'Neill did an absolutely fantastic job with them. I was at the Euros when they played Wales, and they were the better team. Yeah. You know, they were very, very unfortunate to go out against Wales, and did a really good number on them. The only danger also is, you know, the favourites tag doesn't sit easily with them. You know, it's not something we're used to against any nation, but, you know, San Marino, they'll win that. And again, it'd be just a question of how many goals they can add to help their goal difference and how that compares with other nations in the group.
Yeah, should be a procession for Northern Ireland. Let's hope it is on Saturday evening. Great stuff, Jason. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for your time. Enjoy all of the action across the next few days, and we'll catch up with you soon.
No problem at all. Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.